Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, August 22nd, 2015, 7 Elul, 5775, Shoftim, Deuteronomy 16:18 through 21:9, Fourth Haftarah of Consolation, Isaiah 51:12 through 52:12, Devar Torah, It Takes Two, Me and You, by Rabbi Audrey R. Karotkin. In many Jewish weddings I have officiated at over the years, the bride and groom have chosen to add to the traditional vows these words from the prophet Hosea, Barashtich li b'tzedek uv'mishpat uv'chesed uv'rachamim. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercy. Hosea 2:21. While the traditional vows reflect the view of Jewish marriage as a legal institution, Hosea's words reflect marriage as a sacred partnership born of mutual love and respect. Hosea, of course, was using the language of marriage as a descriptive for the relationship between God and Israel, challenging Israel to be faithful and chastising her when she strayed. But the onus in this relationship is not entirely on Israel, as we discover in this week's Torah portion, Shoftim. Here, God calls on the Israelites to appoint magistrates and officials for your tribes in all the settlements that the Eternal your God is giving you, and they shall govern the people with due justice. See Deuteronomy 16:18. Due justice is the way the modern JPS translation renders the combination phrase Mishpat Tzedek, the first of two of Hosea's pledges. But what about Chesed, loving kindness? What about Rachamim, mercy? Are we not also to consider these qualities in our courts of law? The Chatam Sofer, a prominent sage in early 19th century Hungary, taught that the betrothal between God and Israel could take place only if both brought something to the relationship. He quoted the Midrash as saying that God supplies the loving kindness and mercy, while we supply the righteousness and justice, and that in fact, it is only in the light of God's loving kindness and mercy that we can dispense due justice. So yes, we are to consider those qualities, but the Chatam Sofer infers that they don't come as naturally to us as they do to God. That may seem counterintuitive, considering how often the Israelite God is stereotypically depicted in popular discourse as angry and vengeful, but that stereotype disintegrates as we move through this parasha and see just how often God gives us rules designed to mitigate our human instinct to pass judgment without a sense of divine compassion. In war, for example, God decrees that an enemy town must first be approached with a peace offer, and scorched earth battle plans that would destroy vegetation are forbidden. And even after calling for death to idolaters, God declares that a person should be put to death only on the testimony of two or more witnesses, and insists that the witnesses themselves cast the first stone, so as to avert death in vengeance or anger. The same holds for the creation of cities of refuge, designed to protect those who have accidentally caused the death of another from being avenged by victims' families. Even false prophets, who could destroy the entire community by leading them astray in idol worship, shall die, but by God's actions, not by human hands. In all these cases, Mishpat Tzedek is tempered with Chesed Verachamim, humanity's default mechanism in balance with God's. Yet I think it is not for the sake of the other alone that God tempers our tempers. We are seized and guided by anger, resentment, envy, or a desire for vengeance. We may be out to hurt someone else without realizing how much we are hurting ourselves. In the Babylonian Talmud, the rabbis teach from Proverbs, it is written, "But envy is the rottenness of the bones. He who has envy in his heart, his bones rot away. But he who has no envy in his heart, his bones do not rot away." When we talk about envy or anger eating away at us, we mean it figuratively. But the rabbis warn us that it has literal physical consequences. Think about a time when you felt slighted or been jealous of someone else's recognition or gotten into a petty dispute. That stomachache or pain in the back of your neck won't go away with a dose of Pepto-Bismol or a couple of aspirin. Perhaps when Isaiah declares in this week's Haftarah of Consolation, "Awake, awake, clothe yourself in strength, O Zion," Isaiah 52:1. It is more than a prophecy of communal redemption, but also a message of personal renewal. Perhaps it is a call for each of us to dig deep and find the strength within ourselves to temper our instinctive desire for justice with the divine gift of mercy. The Torah sage Isaac Abravanel, 15th century Portugal, asks why in the beginning of this Torah portion are judges warned three times in verses 18, 19, and 20 to judge fairly. His question reflects the rabbinic belief that no word in the Torah is superfluous, so seemingly repetition must be more than that. I would suggest that we might find the answer in the threefold teaching by the prophet Micah. He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, only to do justice, mishpat, and to love goodness, chesed, and to walk modestly with your God, Micah 6:8. A meaningful relationship with God and healthy relationships with others require the best of both worlds. Rabbi Audrey R. Korotkin is the spiritual leader of Temple Beth Israel in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and a PhD candidate in rabbinics at Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion, from which she was ordained in 1999.